local blacks and 12 local whites were tried, not for treason, as in the case of Christiana, but for riot. Only one of the black men was convicted, but he died shortly after, so he was never able to appeal the verdict. Among the abolitionists who helped with the Jerry rescue was Gerrit Smith, who would later become, by the way, one of the Secret Six who helped to fund John Brown. And after Jerry's escape, Smith offered a resolution for the convention for the new Liberty Party. In his speech, he called out Daniel Webster for supporting the fugitive slave law as part of the 1850 compromise. Remember that Webster in the 1830s was the vocal opponent of secession and nullification because of the importance of unionism. As part of Smith's resolution, Smith wrote, quote, "We rejoice that the city of Syracuse, the anti-slavery city of Syracuse, the city of anti-slavery conventions, our beloved and glorious city of Syracuse, still remains undisgraced by the fulfillment of the satanic prediction of the satanic Daniel Webster," end quote. I'm Chris Cowton, and this is the Mises Institute podcast, Historical Controversy. We've spent the last two episodes talking about the fugitive slave law, and this episode is going to finish this up by talking about some of the other significant episodes that came out of this controversy and take us into Bleeding Kansas, which will be the topic of the next few episodes. But the significance of the fugitive slave law cannot be understated, as it helped fuel the fires in the sectional controversy, and it drove many Northerners who had long been somewhat apathetic to slavery into moving toward the abolitionists, even if it was only for political reasons. After 1851, the enforcement of the fugitive slave law died down a bit. While Northern fugitives were still being returned to the South in accordance with the law, the 1852 fugitive slave claims only amounted to a third of the total in 1851, although I haven't found anything trying to offer any detailed explanation.